Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Skill Set. Today I am super excited to welcome Kirsten Rongren on, and if you aren't familiar with her, you probably have seen her face on the infamous Cat Class, but we have so much to talk about today, but I want to say, Kirsten, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I have been listening for so long, and when you asked me if I wanted to do this, I was like, am I really cool enough to do a podcast? So this will be good. I'm really excited.
Well, I am very honored to have you on the show, because just from listening to you on Cat Class, I'm like, this person knows so much, and she's the perfect person to talk to about skills and soft skills and everything in that area. So before we get fully into the episode, I want to provide the space for you to just tell us a little bit about who you are and what kind of practice you're in right now.
Sure. So my name is Kirsten, and I am a Washington State University College of Vet Med grad, 2015. I am currently working part-time as a general practitioner in a small animal exclusive clinic in San Diego. And I just see dogs and cats. Bless the people who see all the exotics, because I don't know what to do with those, and that's not my area of expertise. So I am practicing part-time 2 days per week. I was working 4 days per week at this clinic, but I actually took the opportunity to take a teaching position as of almost a year ago. It was June of 2019. So I am now teaching 2 days a week at a veterinary technician program in San Diego as well. So I do that 2 days a week, and then I practice 2 days a week. On top of, I thought it was a brilliant idea to try and start my own business, and so that is how we got connected. Vet Redefined is my project, my heart project that I've been working on, and so that's kind of how I've gotten into the mentorship space and getting connected with all of you guys. And so it's been good. So I kind of have my hands in a lot of pots right now.
Yeah, hands in pots, juggling plates. There's so many good analogies, but again, that kind of like reiterates the point that you're obviously like, you're in a teaching position. So these are kind of skills that you're already talking to people about. So I'm really, really excited. But also, your Vet Redefined can be found on Instagram, and you have a website. Anything else?
I do. Yeah. So I am in process of figuring out how to make an effective Facebook. But yeah, so at vet_redefined is my Instagram, and then www.vetredefined.com is also up and running, and that's where we are going to be posting the Cat Class recordings for the webinar. So I'm almost done. As soon as I get them all almost ready, Dr. Marshall sends me another one. So I am working on it. It's getting there.
Cool. And all of those contacts will be in the show notes, and I'm expecting you guys to go and reach out to Kirsten and just be like, send her a little note, go say hey. She's an awesome human, but cool. So thank you so much for introducing yourself. And so today we're talking about, again, these soft skills, storytelling skills, however you want to label it. I'm going to call it storytelling skills, because that's what we're doing here. But we're talking today about something that is kind of one of my big fears right now, especially as I'm launching into the veterinary profession. And it's this whole aspect of, I'm the youngest one there, and I look a little bit younger than I really am. So those are all things that can impact how clients see us. And then also how we as vets are responding or advocating for ourselves. So I'll kind of like hand it over to you, Kirsten. When you talk to young vets and even just like vet techs, vet assistants about this kind of thing, what are the questions that are commonly popping up?
Yeah, so I think that one of the things that I don't think we really think about until we're in the position when we first get out of school is, like you said, I am the youngest one here, and I think it probably a little bit ties into imposter syndrome, like what business do I have giving medical advice to these clients? And I just got out of school. I don't have a lot of experience. And you might be working with a doctor who just graduated last year, and you might be working with a doctor who's been doing this for 30 years. So it's very overwhelming, and it can be very challenging, I think, to kind of get over that hump. Because I do think like the kind of age debate and imposter syndrome are friends, and they like to hold hands and come to the party together, even though I don't think we want to invite them to the party. So I when I first got out of school, I was very fortunate that I had found a great mentor. So, I worked for Gary Marshall at his feline practice, and it was just the two of us. But that being said, he had been a solo practitioner for a really long time. And in such, he had developed a very, very deep and connected bond with his clients, and his clients trust him, I mean, with their lives and their animals' lives. And so that was a little bit overwhelming for me to kind of break into, because I kind of felt like I said, what business do I have giving these people medical advice? I just got out of school and I turned 25 right before I graduated. So I mean, like, yeah, I was like, I'm 25, but I was freshly 25 and I looked 19. So, you know, I would go into the exam room and people don't have any shame. People would say, God, you look awfully young. And I'd be like, so it's definitely scary. And I think the fear in that comes from, inexperience and lack of self-confidence. And, you know, it did take me some time to develop some skills to overcome that. But I think it's also very important to realize that that is a very normal feeling and you are not alone in feeling that concern. I think that the other thing is really important to remember is that you need to give yourself some credit. You've put a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of hard work into getting to where you are. And you're a doctor. You're a doctor of veterinary medicine. And you have a lot of time left to learn and grow, and you're going to get better and better. But you've busted your ass to get to where you are. And you should be proud of that. And you have the knowledge. You have the skills. You just need to cultivate those. You need to work on those and grow them and mold them. And so that, I think, is the most challenging thing, is just being proud of how you've gotten to where you are, being willing to learn and willing to grow, but also just being like, you know what? Yeah, I'm young and I'm a new doctor, but what I lack in experience, I will make up for in enthusiasm, and I'm here to take care of your pet. So that can be, I think, like I said, the biggest hurdles that people have to get through when you're first starting out. It's really scary.
And what I'm hearing from that are like two major things. One of them is set yourself up in a practice that is there to support you and has mentorship up the wazoo that can like bolster you a little bit. And then also just, again, like reminding yourself just how far you've come and kind of, like you said, believing in yourself and understanding that you didn't just go through 8 years of school, undergrad and vet school, to just be a nobody. Like, you are the doctor. And kind of giving yourself a pep talk and, I don't know, play some fun music before you go into a tough consult. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think, I mean, you and I could have a whole nother 22,000 hours on mentorship. So I will not scratch that surface too hard right now. But yeah, I think that makes a big part of it. But I think honestly, what even is more important than that is communication. I really am going to say that every time over and over again when you ask me what's the way to make anything, not necessarily easier, but what's a way to make anything go more your way, quote unquote, and that's going to be effective communication. And I think that effective communication is one of the most important things to get over that fear on your end of being a new doctor, but also it comes from fear. I mean, that's the quote unquote judgment that I think we feel from clients because we are new and because we are younger. I think a lot of that comes from a couple things. And I have a blog on my website actually that talks all about this. So I'm laughing a little bit because I'm like taking the three things. So a lot of the times it comes from ignorance or lack of education, and it comes from fear when it comes from our clients. And when I say ignorance or lack of education, I mean, most people are unaware of the time and the work and the requirements that are put in to become a veterinarian. And so they don't know that you just spent 8+ years going to college to be a doctor, right? So that is something that many people are unaware of. And number two, it's fear. They want their pet to be healthy and taken care of, just like you want their pet to be healthy and taken care of. But the concern and the fear comes from, if you just graduated or you're a recent graduate, have you seen enough and done enough to be able to do the best? And so I think that being understanding of that and not getting offended or not having your feelings hurt, which they might be, I'm the most emotional person on the planet and everything makes me emotional. So that was a big challenge for me, but I think not taking it personally and understanding that most of the time any comments that get made or concerns come from a place of lack of education or fear makes it a lot easier to deal with. So that effective communication and saying, I understand that I look like a child, but I, you know, putting your best foot forward. And like kind of one of the coping mechanisms that I had very early on was I would say, I know I look like I just got my driver's license. I promise I got my full doctor of veterinary medicine degree, but I'm here to take care of your pet. And guess what? If I've got questions or we need to get other resources to figure things out, I've got a really good boss in the back who's more than willing to put his thoughts into this. So whenever I would kind of try and like ease the tension a little bit, people were much more open to that and they would be really understanding. And as long as I was an effective communicator and I was proactive, I never had any issues.
Awesome. And I love how you're talking about understanding your audience, which with storytelling, that's a big thing that we talk about is like, okay, so you're going into the exam room, you're going to tell a story essentially, but you kind of have to understand where your audience is coming from. And I love how you talk about like, they just don't know. Mm-hmm. That's it. They just don't know. And so kind of understanding that and accepting that really helps us as new grads to kind of step into the exam room with a little bit more confidence. So let's take a scenario now and let's talk about these effective communication skills that we can give people in the next few minutes. So new grad going into a consult for the first time, you're worried about, like, the main thing on your mind is the age. It's a normal wellness exam, so all of those extraneous factors are kind of taken out for the moment. What are the things that you would tell a new grad to think of before they even go into the exam room?
Ooh, oh man, that's a good question. I think that for me, the things that I would say, if we're talking about a general wellness exam, you're not always going to be able to prep for every appointment, right? Like you might have stuff that gets thrown on the schedule last minute and you're like, oh man, this thing's been vomiting and having diarrhea for 12 days. You might not be able to prep for that. But for wellness things, that's a great opportunity for you to practice your confidence. Like, you know that. You know what a normal physical exam should look like. You know what vaccines a 4-year-old indoor outdoor cat should be getting and things like that. And you know why, right? So just going in prepared and knowing the things that you think are important to general wellness before you go in there, as well as just don't assume anything before you go in, right? Don't just assume that before you go in, the person's not going to want to talk to you or not going to want to see you because you're a new doctor or because you're younger. Because I think if you already put that prejudice and that bias on the client before you go in there, it's going to make it harder for you. And you might not even need to. They might not care. I had tons of people make comments about my age. More people did not say one word and did not care. They might have thought it, but they never said it. And they did what I told them. So I think that just being prepared to go in there and just be confident and be nice to yourself. I know that those seem so simple, but it's that consistent fear and anxiety that builds and builds and builds over time that makes us exhausted. It just makes us tired and consistently stressed. And so taking little things like that, be nice to yourself, be confident, and be prepared before you go in there. So you say, okay, I'm going to see Fifi, a 4-year-old female spayed indoor outdoor cat. She's due for rabies, she's due for upper respiratory, she's due for feline leukemia. I see she's never had blood work, she's never had any major medical issues. Go back and look through her history. She's never had her teeth cleaned. She's tends to be a little bit on the overweight side. You know, going and preparing yourself as much as you can before that appointment is also going to not only make you more confident when you're talking to the owner, it's also going to make you look like you know what you're talking about, right? So if you go in there and you already know what's going on with their animal because you went and looked at the chart before you went in, and because your technician or your assistant, I don't know, at my hospital, my appointments get checked in by a technician. So your technician and assistant went in and said, you know, mom says that she doesn't have any concerns. Sometimes she gets itchy, you know, due for vaccines and a wellness exam. So being prepared before you go in there will take away a lot of the uncertainty. Those will probably be my biggest things. Be nice to yourself, be confident, and be prepared.
No, those are super, super big things. And of course, like in the moment, we can get so inside of our own head and forget the things that we know how to do. Like we know how to, like you said, physical exam, vaccines.
Yeah.
This is stuff you know. Just trust yourself that you do know it. So mm-hmm. Outside of our mind then, what about our physical presence when we actually enter the room? Like I know sometimes you talk about like white coat versus no white coat versus just like how you're standing. So like let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So I think that some things that I think about When I first graduated, I mean, I definitely slapped that white coat on. I did. And because I think it's a sign of pride, and I think it comes along with hard work and respect and knowledge, which I definitely still appreciate. I will tell you that that did not last very long for me. Not because I don't still feel those things, but because I didn't need the coat to feel that confidence anymore. Mm-hmm. I do not wear a lab coat. I haven't in many, many years. I've been out, like I said, for 5 years, and I don't remember the last time I put a lab coat on. I think I do sometimes when we have like dogs that might have kennel cough that come in, so I'll throw it over my clothes and my scrubs so I don't have to change. But I think that it's just the confidence again, and just be you. I mean, you don't have to put on a front. And I know that some of us are, I might seem like a super confident person up front because I like to get to know people. I like to chat. But I'm also a very anxious person. I struggle with the same anxiety that a lot of people do. And so, I think just be you, be confident, and it's just a person. It's just a person with a pet, right? We're all people, we're all pet owners. And so, you know, I think I was a little bit more timid when I first started to go into an exam room, and I would, you know, knock on the door and I'd kind of open it and I'd say, hi, you know, and I'd go in. But I mean, I think now I'll knock on the door and I'll just open the door and I'll say, good morning, welcome. So-and-so is here. Like, and I think that that's, everybody's going to have a different style of being a doctor, but I think that that's why my clients like coming to see me, is because it feels very comfortable. And I think that along with that comfort comes trust, and you have to build that trust with your clients before, if they don't trust you, they're not going to let you do jack. You know what? Yeah. I'm sorry. I, my fiance and my sister told me not to curse. and I already think I did twice, but, your client's not going to give a flying, you know what, if they don't trust you. And so that, I think that, like I said, like your physical body, be yourself, but also think about the way that you present that confidence, because if you come in and you seem and you feel timid and you don't feel comfortable giving advice and saying the things that you're saying, if you don't believe you, your client's not going to believe you, right? And so I think that that's really big, because that confidence and that knowledge kind of go together to build that trust. But also I think if you try and fake it a little bit too much, it seems not genuine. And it's kind of hard to describe, but I think it's a little bit easier when you get in that scenario. Like if they don't feel like they can trust you, like I said, it's going to be really challenging to build anything or to give advice, because they're not going to want to do anything if they don't trust you. Mm-hmm. So I think my kind of from the get-go is that I was just me, and I was happy, and I would smile, and I would stand up straight, and I'd look people in the eye, and I'd shake their hand, you know, before the coronavirus thing.
Yeah.
But I would shake their hand.
Pre-corona.
Yeah, exactly. But the other thing too, is just your body language in general, not only says a lot to the client, but it says a lot to the pet too.
So let's break that down a little bit then. So we talk about body language, and you already said like looking at them, like actually having eye contact when you're talking with someone. Because I know someone, like for me, if I'm thinking about something, it's just a normal human thing that you're just kind of like looking up here, and then you're like, oh yeah, sure. The client. So maybe like obviously in the exam room, maybe isn't the first place that I would practice this, but like with your family members and with your friends, just have a conversation with them and check in with yourself to be like, oh, where are my eyes going when I'm talking with them? What is my body doing? Like, obviously I'm sitting in front of a computer and I'm trying to get close, so I'm like catching myself as I hunch forward, and I'm like, oh yeah, sitting up. But just like opening your shoulders. And we talked a little bit with the episode that I did with Dr. Crocker about like physical, like body. Just how our body language and how people kind of, they communicate and they mirror that. And like you said, our pets even react to that sometimes. Sure. So it's like, are you playing with your hair while you're talking to them? Are you shifting your feet? Like all of these little things you don't realize are communicating your confidence or your timidness. And like for me, I'm just taking the time now to kind of check in and be like, what are the things that I do that I don't even realize I'm doing that are communicating? So what kind of other things would you add to that?
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I would say, like you were saying, talk to your family, talk to your friends or whatever, record yourself. It's the worst, but it's the best, because you will catch yourself doing things. You'll be like, oh, my God, that's terrible. So I think that recording yourself is another good one. But I think, like I said, just, yes, I think that there are always improvements that can be made, but just being genuine and being yourself is the biggest thing. So when I go in, I would say I don't go in and just stand in the exam room, because a lot of exam rooms, they have the table, right? Yeah. So I don't like going in and standing on one side of the table when the client's on the other side and like having their animal either on the table or whatever, because I just feel very separated. So a lot of times when I first go into an exam room, you know, if I not met the client before, you know, I'll go around the table and I'll shake their hand, introduce myself. But the first thing that I'll usually do is, if it's a cat, you know, say something about their animal. Like, it doesn't have to be too fake. I mean, to say, oh, hi, like, Orangey or whatever, you know, like, oh, hi, like, you know, you're very cute, blah, blah. So, but then I'll sit and especially with the dog, I'll lean against the wall. So it's again, like I said, body language for the animal. So I'll lean down against the wall and just kind of let like my hand sit out so they can come sniff it. And some dogs obviously are nervous, and so they're not interested, but it's a lot less threatening if you're down at their level versus hovering over them. That kind of gets into the fear-free thing. But mm-hmm. I think that the paying attention to the owner and paying attention to their animal, I think we're so focused on paying attention to the owner that we forget to pay attention to the animal, but that's why they're there.
Yeah.
So greeting the animal and having just open and relaxed body language. So it's that open, like, don't, like, not standing there with your arms crossed, mm-hmm. and like being a little bit hyper aware of what your face looks like. So if they're talking about something that they read on the internet and you're standing there, like, they're probably not going to be super excited by that.
Yeah.
I think I joked a little bit on one of the cat classes. I've gotten really good at the nod and saying, okay. It's being aware of what your facial expression looks like. And honestly, like, yes, we talk so much about being a good communicator and being a good history taker, but being a good listener is so probably almost more important. So like I said, open body language. I like to be down where their animal can get to me after I introduce myself. So shake hands, eye contact. I think those are really big, but also I like to be where I'm accessible to the animal. And I think that makes a huge difference. So if it's a cat, I might ignore it for a while before I touch it, versus if it's happy, then obviously I'll spend most of my time petting their cat. You know, and I'll kind of make a joke. I'll say, okay, that'll be $59 for me to just pet your cat until it's cute. And like, people, you know, people appreciate that.
They because, do.
Again, it's the common interest. You're both there for the animal, right? So I think it's that, the body language, that you're paying attention to the animal, but also, like I said, being hyper aware of your facial expression, not crossing your arms, not tapping your finger, like you said, not swirling your hair. It's hard. It's hard to pick up on those little things, which is why I think recording yourself can be really helpful.
Mm-hmm. And like, they're so cringeworthy. And like at Edinburgh, we didn't actually get to the recording of ourselves. I know other schools did, but we had, like, we were sitting, like a fake client would come into the room, mm-hmm. and we would have our consult, and we had our five or six peers that would sit in a U-shape around us, mm-hmm. watching this. And the things that they picked up, like, for myself, this was like second year of vet school, that they picked up on me, I was like, oh snap, I need to work on some of these things. So like, it's cringeworthy. And like, I know for myself, I looked at it and I was like, oh my gosh, what are my classmates thinking of me now that I've done this? But then like 15 minutes later, I was like, stop it. Push that to the back. Like, you are now coming out of this a better clinician, and your classmates have learned maybe things that they've done as well. So as cringeworthy as those scenarios can be, and as cringeworthy as like taking a video of yourself can be, it's so, so helpful, and it'll make your first consult that much better, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, again, give yourself time. You will get exponentially better. Guess what? The more appointments you see, the more confidence you're going to get. And like I said, when I first started out and people would make a comment about my age, I would just kind of smile and nod and say, I understand. And then just keep going, right? Mm-hmm. Don't dwell on it. I think that's one of the biggest things that I can say too, is just don't dwell on it, but you will get better and more confident with time. And when I say time, I'm not saying like, yes, obviously in 15 years, you'll be a lot better at it. But I'm saying even in a week, a month, 3 months, you're still a new grad, but you're going to be really impressed and really surprised at the strides that you will make in that short period of time if you just continue to push and learn from every single appointment. Because if you're working in a fairly busy practice.
Oh, I lost you for a second. Hold on. I lost you. Oh no. I think you're back. You're back. Whatever.
I get. Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, you were good. What were we saying?
I was just talking about every opportunity gives you a chance to be better. I don't know what's the last thing you heard.
I don't remember either. I'll piece it together somehow.
Yeah, that's but. Okay. But basically, yeah, every opportunity you get is a chance for you to be better. So take mm-hmm. every communication, every appointment that you see is a chance for you to be better. And like I said, when I first kind of started going into exam rooms, I think I was a little bit more timid about like when people would make comments about how young I looked. And I still get that. I'm 5 years out and I still get that. The difference is that now I'm just better equipped to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And so, God, you just look so young. And I just turned 30. So now I'm officially out of my 20s. I just turned 30 last month and I still get those comments all the time. And so, like I said, I think I'm just better equipped to deal with it. So I say, I know I look like I just got my driver's license. Don't worry. I've been doing this for many years. And I was, and you know, and then you just go over it mm-hmm. and you keep going. And if you dwell on it, they're going to dwell on it. If you show them how smart you are and how good at your job you are, they'll forget about it in a second.
Yep. I mean, like any good improv, if you're able to take something and like turn it into your own joke, like mm-hmm. people accept it so much better and they just move on because yeah. you moved on. They're like, I trust you. Okay, bye.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I mean, like, I think that a lot of people, like once you remind them, you have to start somewhere,
mm-hmm.
you know, they get it. And like I said, I think that, again, if you put the steps forward to show you're intelligent and show that you're committed to taking care of their pet and that you're willing to use any resource that you need to do that, they'll forget. They won't care if you're 25 or 52 or 100, mm-hmm. right? So that's, I think that in that regard, it's just, you can't let it bother you. It's almost more of a problem for it to let it make us like have anxiety and have be self-conscious. And
yeah,
like
totally.
That.
Totally.
And like, I think we feed into it.
Yes. So, oh my gosh, so much. And like listening to all this, I love how at the beginning we're like, we're going to talk about the issue of feeling too young and getting the comment about it. And then mm-hmm. as we start going and nitpicking and breaking this yeah. down, we start realizing that it isn't that a problem that you look young. It isn't a problem that you've just graduated. It's more of, I don't want to call it an issue, but more of the fact that you just haven't built the confidence in yourself yet. And like, so everything is coming from what you think about yourself. And like, that's what you really need to work on rather yeah. than how do you change someone else's mind? It's how do you trust yourself that much more? So that was absolutely. Kind of a really cool conversation and how yeah. we like went about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that that's really what it comes down to is I think that I do think that, like I said, when you realize that you do have the tools and you do have the confidence and the resources and the knowledge to do that job is a really amazing time and a really amazing realization. But I think that the nice thing about being a veterinarian is that that's going to continue to happen for you every day for the rest of your career, because I still feel like that on a regular basis. I am learning something new every day. I am getting more confident every day. And like I said, I still get comments about how young I look, or like, especially with like older clients, I'll be like, God, I just keep getting younger and younger. And I laugh and I say, I know. And I said, man, I wouldn't trust me if I saw me either. But like, you know, I think that people just appreciate that camaraderie and that honesty. So, and I'm a jokey kind of person and not everybody's like that. And that's okay. You don't have to make a joke just to kind of get past that barrier. It's just the trust. And that's mm-hmm. like, that's just the way that I happen to do it. So I think a lot of people can appreciate just easing the mood a little bit.
Yeah.
But the one that works every time is when I say, I know I look like I just got my driver's license, but don't worry. Like, we're going to get this taken care of. I think people really appreciate that. So
no, I think that's a really good one to use, because of course, like the age that you get your driver's license is obviously like that much younger than a vet would really be. So it right. adds that little bit extra layer to kind of like dampen it down a bit. So people, they really take that joke on board and they're like, oh yeah, that's yeah. actually really funny.
Yeah. Like it's a big landmark. And so yeah. I think people laugh and like, and I can't even take credit for that. Like I actually got that from one of the first clients that I saw when I had first graduated, when I was working for Gary, said, God, you look like you just got your driver's license. And I was like, that's a good one. Like I'm going to use that. Mm-hmm. And so I've used it to my advantage, because I think that it really gets people on my team, because they realize like, okay, like I can take it. Like, mm-hmm. let's move on and let's take care of your animal. And the reason why those people keep coming back to me is because I was confident, I built a good relationship with them, and I practiced good medicine.
Boom, there it is.
And I was like, mic drop.
Mic drop. Yeah.
I was like, can you drop your own mic, or is that like too much? But yeah, that's why I keep having success, is because I think if you care, it'll come across. If you are genuinely invested and you want what's best for them and you communicate that appropriately, you're going to have success every time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that is the absolute perfect place to leave it. And I hope this episode gave people a little bit of the pep talk they need before they start their first job or their internship. Or if you're in vet school and you're like, I don't know what I can be working on right now, you can go and just video yourself having a conversation with an invisible client. There you go. That's what you can do today.
Oh my gosh. I know. Seriously. Right. Well, and if people have questions, like, I'm always here. Like, and we say this in cat class all the time, but like Dr. Marshall and Dr. Bowden and Dr. Cool and myself say this all the time. Like, we are always here for you. That's what we do. And don't hesitate to reach out for us if you have questions or like, and that's one of the things that I really feel like I enjoy about this community is the resources. One of my favorite quotes is, it is not about a lack of resources. It is about a lack of resourcefulness. There's a lot of ways that people can get practice. And if you have questions or you want tips and tricks, you reach out to me, shoot me a message, send me an email. Like, I am more than happy to help. So there's lots of good advice out there for people, which is fantastic. And I love that we can all reach out to each other and be like, I need help.
I know that is, the network is absolutely incredible. And so you guys, like I said in the beginning, go send Kirsten a message. She's on Instagram. She has a website. Yes. The information will be in the show notes. You have no excuse. Going to get loads of messages now. I want to say thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your sunny California day with us today.
Oh, absolutely.
A little bit of sunshine. And I want to also just point you guys back to the podcast. You can find more information on Instagram, and that is at That Vet Life Podcast. I'm also on Facebook at That Vet Life Podcast. And you can find these episodes and the show wherever podcasts are found. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Skillset. And until next time, guys, see ya.